Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Cult I Left Behind podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Briggs, and I'm here to tell you my stories of growing up in the IBLP cult, which you might know from the Duggar family.
And I'm your other host, Kyle Briggs. I am Amanda's husband, and I have not heard most of these stories before, so stay tuned and we'll all get traumatized together. Welcome back to the next episode. What do you have for us tonight, Amanda?
Something that's burned in my brain that did me no actual good growing up, but it was a really big part of being a kid in the cult.
Okay. Sounds like it could be anything. No actual value.
So it's called the 10 Unchangeables.
Okay.
Which was kind of the foundation of a lot of the Children's Institute. So the portion of the seminar kids went to, well, the adults and the non-existent adolescents went to the basic seminar and the advanced seminar.
Okay. And what are these 10 unchangeables?
Well, I need to drink more because, like, the best way to tell you about this is the song that 30 years later I apparently still remember really well, as it turns out. Don't know why. Probably because we sang it a couple thousand times at the Children's Institute and everywhere else, Knoxville conferences. I'm drinking a margarita. What are you drinking?
Rum and Coke.
So this is a good margarita. Kyle made it, everyone. It reminded me that my friend Christina, I call her Christina the Badass Scientist because she's a badass and a scientist. So it just makes sense to call her that. She makes a mean margarita and now I'm really missing it.
I'll have to get her recipe.
She's a really, well, you two would probably get along well. She's a great mixologist. You're a great mixologist. You both have the same sense of humor and you both scare me just a little.
Whatever do you mean, Amanda?
See how well I can procrastinate when I don't want to.
So did you remember this song or did, or I guess let me rephrase that. Yesterday, had you remembered this song or did you just remember it when you intentionally thought about like this topic?
I guess it immediately sprang to mind in its complete form when I looked at the list of topics.
So you didn't even have to like record. Try to remember parts of it. Like the whole thing just popped
it's just
in
there,
and was ready to
the
go.
The whole thing.
Okay. That's scary.
Oh yeah. So I could sing it or I could just tell you the lyrics.
No, you're definitely going to sing
it. Oh, am I?
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to like actually try to sing it well.
No.
I'm going to like speed sing it.
Okay.
I need more.
Take a drink.
More tequila.
So what, I guess before you start singing this, what is it? Like, what is this song?
Kyle, there are 10 things you can't change about yourself.
Oh, so they're all in the song.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I apologize in advance for how horrible this is going to be.
You don't have to sing it if you don't want to.
So, cheery piano intro. Dun, 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 one. I am one of a kind. Two, for my mom and dad. Three, for my brothers and sisters. They're the best I ever had. And four, nationality. Five, mental capacity. Six, time in history. I'm thankful for the way that God made me. And seven is God's perfect plan for me as a B-O-Y or a G-I-R-L. You have to shout that part really loud. And eight is the order in my family. That's how we fit together oh so well. Nine is for aging, then dramatic. 10 for the time we die. You have to hold that one out real long.
Very good.
So say goodbye to this old world, because it's hello to eternal life. I don't know why that fits in at the end, but that's what's at the end of the song.
Yeah, I definitely thought you were done already, so I don't know why that was there.
Can I die in a corner now?
Can't tell Amanda can actually sing very well, and that song is just...
That was not it.
No, that was not not what you're used to singing.
So those are the 10 unchangeables, Kyle. You didn't learn this song growing up? This wasn't part of your educational curriculum?
No, but it still seems not age appropriate.
Okay, let's
just... like with everything else that was taught to like small children in the cult, that just didn't seem very age appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's nothing new. That's not surprising.
Should we break down each unchangeable?
Yes, definitely.
Because
I'm just kind of lost. I was just watching you sing this, just like, I don't know what's happening.
I know, I couldn't look at you. Well, they've changed it. IBLP has changed the list.
Oh, so was this the original rendition?
This was the original.
Mm-hmm.
Very not PC. It's still not PC, but they changed nationality to ethnicity. And then they did. All right, let's look real quick. Okay, so they got rid of one I am one of a kind. And now it's one is parents. And then okay. The second one is physical features, which I guess would have been one of a kind. Three is gender. That got moved way up on the list. Seven. It used to be seven. Gender used to be seven. Now it's three.
Okay. So the order, these are in order of importance then?
I guess, because parents are first.
Of course. Thought Bill Gothard would be first.
Well, authorities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Physical features, gender. Okay, then brothers and sisters, then birth order, then ethnicity, no longer nationality. Place of origin is now nationality. So they added ethnicity. Ethnicity did not used to be there. Time and history, mental abilities. And to add ethnicity, they put aging and time of death as one. That's now number 10.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think a lot of people would have a lot to say on if these are unchangeables.
I mean, what was the point of, like, what were they trying to teach you?
Oh, that's a really good question.
So it was just a song. They were like, you're going to learn this song and sing it.
Well, we were supposed to understand that these are 10 things we have to accept and get in line with because God made them that way and we can't change them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I found this blog, as one does.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's by a super like fundy woman who back in 2014 decided to make a post about the 10 unchangeables as part of her like health and fitness blog.
Okay.
Yeah. So she says a bunch of stuff and then she was like, these other people can say it better than I can. She said the credit goes to Dr. and Mrs. Bennett. They worded it way better than I could have, so I just included their notes below. I don't know who the Bennetts are. I don't remember if they're ATI or IBLP. But you know how, like, the 7 basic needs of a husband and wife got republished on the mm-hmm. Duggars website with their own wording?
Right.
I think this was probably something similar. But I really like what Dr. and Mrs. Bennett say about parents, Kyle.
Okay, what did they say?
Parents. Good, bad, or indifferent. Proverbs 20:20. He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in times of darkness. And Ephesians 6:2, all caps. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Proverbs 30:17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out. And the young eagles will eat it. Do you think God is serious about this one? It doesn't say if they are Christian or if they are sober, etc.
Christian or sober.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So if you have, you know, parents who don't conform to your religion or they struggle with addictions or alcoholism, if you don't honor them, the ravens will pick your eyes out and young eagles will eat them. And God's really serious about this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what Dr. and Mrs. Bennett have to say. But if you look at what IBLP has to say on their website, they say that God chose your father and mother and Since the fall of Adam and Eve, God has worked through imperfect parents to accomplish his purposes in the world. Some of the weaknesses in your parents will be passed on to you. To compensate for this challenge, God provides special grace to deal with imperfections. See 2 Corinthians 12:9. Now, so basically this, in retrospect, it's like, you know, all the abuse we talked about in last mm-hmm. week's episode, like God planned that, Kyle. Okay. God specifically picked for, you know, me and my siblings to get beaten up by Chris as part of his perfect plan to accomplish his purposes in the world.
Hmm. I mean, I've definitely heard that in like church, you know, that people will kind of use that as, I don't know, consolation when bad things happen. They're just like, well, that was God's plan.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's pretty normalized. Not that it should be, but it is normalized. And so are they like trying to say all, you know, your family's one of the unchangeable things. So,
yeah, like, but I like kind happens, of reject just, that because I have totally discarded my family and picked yeah. a new one.
Yeah.
So from where I stand, like that's pretty fucking changeable.
It does seem that way, doesn't it? Yeah, that one did not apply to you. You could have left that mm-hmm. one out of the song.
So then two is your physical features. So in the cult, you weren't supposed to change anything. Like a nose job was rejecting God mm-hmm. and his design and plan. But again, I feel like physical features, especially with current technology, like that's very changeable. You can do a lot of cosmetic surgery and change how you look.
What did they say? Like, what were some of the examples of things like you shouldn't change? Like, how strict was it?
Oh, I remember your height was a big one. Your voice, your body build, metabolism, complexion, eyes, ears, hands, feet, and countless other features down to the smallest detail.
So wait, they didn't want you to change your physical size? So like, if you started working out and got buff, that wasn't okay?
No, you definitely had to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me see what Dr. and Mrs. Bennett have to say about this. They say you are uniquely you, one of a kind, physically, height, hair color, and texture, or lack thereof, bone structure, foot size, sweaty palms, general appearances, etc. I mean, I think you can even do a lot to change bone structure these days.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of that one. That's crazy, but yes.
So I feel like the first two unchangeables are pretty fucking changeable if you have the time, money, or inclination.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's see what the third one is. I'm going off the new list. Gender. I feel like a lot of people would have a lot to say about that one. Brothers and sisters. Well, I also feel like that's pretty changeable. See my life history
mm-hmm.
for examples thereof.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they didn't want you to adopt, right?
And oh, so, yeah, we still need to do an episode on that.
Yeah, so that kind of falls in line with that thinking. They want your family to stay just as it is.
Oh, but as an only child, Kyle, loneliness may serve as a signal to deepen your walk with God and invest in the lives of others.
So they wanted you to have like 30 kids, but if you just happen to have one, it's still a good thing.
Well, yeah, you're not as spiritual, mm-hmm. obviously, because we'll get into this in the adoption episode. The ability to conceive is considered a sign and blessing from God that you should be a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have one, then you are therefore supposed to / allowed to have many.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That'll be a fun episode. Crazy ideologies there.
Birth order. Okay, this one I'll agree. You can't really change that.
Mm-hmm. That one's pretty.
Yeah, like set in stone. Even if a sibling passes away or something, like it's the birth order is the birth order.
Mm-hmm.
Ethnicity. Rejecting your ethnic and ancestral background will produce detrimental attitudes of either inferiority or superiority.
So they just want you to keep whatever your cultural background is.
Each ethnic group has unique culture and characteristics. Mm-hmm. But these so-called races are actually one race descended from common parents, Adam and Eve. But you're not supposed to reject your heritage.
Okay.
And if you accept your heritage, you can see other people as the special work of God's design. Or here's a thought. Here's a thought. Like radical thought. We could all just treat each other with dignity and respect because we're humans. I know. So radical, guys. So controversial. Oh my God.
Would be in the cult.
Well, yeah. Place of origin. Yeah, you can become a citizen of another country. So I don't really think that's an unchangeable. Like maybe where you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's the paperwork for that and everything, obviously. But like, what about folks with dual citizenship when they're born? What about if you decide, well, I feel a lot better when I'm in this country because the climate and culture and food and everything agrees with me more. I'm going to go through the steps to change my citizenship.
So did they promote a culture within the cult of like, you just kind of stay put wherever you're at and you just pop out a bunch of kids and you keep going to the cult church and you follow all this rhetoric and like, just don't rock the boat.
Unless Bill wanted you to move to headquarters. You know, I actually don't know.
I mean, it's kind of what they're getting to with the unchangeable things though. Like, or some of them, it kind of seems like they just, you know, don't change. That seems to be the message they're trying to push through there.
Let me look at what Dr. and Mrs. Bennett have to say. Yeah, this doesn't help. It just talks about biblical characters, nationalities. I don't know. I got nothing.
This just seems like another one of the things that's in the cult that's just like, it doesn't make any sense. It's just like
why are we making like, this so important that I have to know the song 30 years later because I sang it so many times as a kid? Excellent questions, Kyle. This is why you would not survive in a cult. This is why I did not do well in a cult either. Time and history. I mean, I can get on board with the fact that you can't really change that. We don't have time machines.
Not yet.
At the moment. Back to the Future. What? So, I mean, sure. I'll agree with that one. Mm. How many have we agreed with? Let's see. Let's do a quick little count. 1, 2, 3. We're on 8, and I agree with 3 so far. This is great. Okay. So, yes, God has a special purpose for your life. He brought you into the world at just the right time in history to fulfill that purpose. To yearn to have been born in a different time or to dislike the time you are living in now is to reject God's purpose for your existence at this specific time in history. Better not, you know, wish. Oh, that was a quote. Like, you shouldn't go back to the good old days. Like, that's rejecting God's plan for your life if you pine for the good old days or, you know, to have lived in a different era.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting one for the cult because I feel like they could twist that around where it's like, oh, you know, little Susie complained about, you know, whatever, being touched inappropriately. Let's just move on and not, like, dwell in the past.
Mm.
I feel like they could spin it that way, and they probably did.
I mean, it would depend if it was your brother. Well, God picked that brother for you. And you're here at this time and in this place with these parents who aren't going to intervene.
Yeah, they're not going to help. Like
God's perfect will can be played out in your life. And then mental abilities.
So you can't learn anything? Can't get smarter?
This seems very much geared to accepting your IQ, even if it isn't as high as you would like it to be. That, like, as I read this, that's kind of the only way to interpret it. It's not like, wow, if... from the IBLP perspective, God has blessed you with this incredible mental capacity. Use it to glorify him. No, it's, hey, God made you the way he made you. And comparing yourself to others is tempting, but hey, you're unique. Remember that.
Yeah, I mean,
even in areas of lack, God said he is able to prove himself strong where you are weak. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like they're trying to play it off as just like you can't improve yourself or you shouldn't change yourself either. But like you can't like this one specifically, and maybe even with the physical one, like you can improve your
Isn't there a body. Whole TED talk that's like incredible about increasing IQ?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know
and the there are so many theories like, out there about like training your brain. And
well, yeah, I mean, there's that, but I mean, like you can learn things. You obviously learn things as you're growing up, and you start off with basic arithmetic, and then you learn like geometry and algebra and trig, and then calculus and physics. Like you learn as you grow and get older, and you know you kind of build upon the things you learned before. So just saying you're never going to get smarter, it seems like the only reason you would tell somebody that is because you want them to not become wiser. And why would you want to do that?
I'm looking at what the Bennetts have to say about all this. It's word salad. It doesn't really
surprise.
Make sense.
It's all so hard to do these episodes when it's just like, this doesn't make any sense.
But and I'm like, just like looking at this, like how can I explain this to our listeners?
Well, I mean, I think the best we could do is just like go through and read it. Like, it doesn't make any sense, but that's what we're talking about. It's like, this is the cult. This is what they taught. And like, even if it doesn't make sense, like that, it made sense to somebody.
Well, and I think it's a good way. I mean, I talk about oppression a lot, but I think it's another subtle way you can oppress people. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, you're a girl. You struggled a little bit learning algebra. Oh, it's okay. You don't need that. Yeah. You just need to know your fractions for baking and cooking. God made you with the brain you have. And it's okay if you don't understand anything else instead of like actually educating people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I take that one. From an oppression standpoint.
Definitely.
So I don't agree with that one either. So we agree with 3 out of 9 so far. Aging and time of death. Like, sure. Well, okay. Maybe not. Aging, yeah. Like, we age. It's a thing. Time of death.
I mean, that's an interesting one because it depends on how you look at it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you get in a car accident and you're ending up in the hospital and, you know, the doctor saves your life or I guess doesn't is the other outcome there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess depending on what your belief system is, like you could say, well, that was his time. Like it was God's purpose or whatever that you were going to die after that car accident. And like, that's the way you look at it. Or, you know, maybe you were in really bad shape and someone stopped and, you know, saved your life or whatever. And like, mm-hmm. Now you're,
and there are going. Also like, I mean, you can also pick when you die, which I do not recommend, but that's another thing. Fun fact, my ex's parents believed that you shouldn't use doctors or do anything to stop death other than anoint with oil and pray.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that's your time, then that's your time. So like they literally would not medically intervene.
So did that apply also just for like general health?
Yeah. Like they wouldn't take medicine either.
Yeah. So like if you broke your arm or whatever, like what was the
well,
options
when
there?
My ex-sister-in-law was a toddler, she got run over by a work truck and it broke her collarbone and they anointed her with oil and prayed.
Okay, that answers that question.
Yeah.
But they weren't the cult. They weren't in the cult.
No, right? they were a different cult, actually. They followed a dude who I think was out of like Oklahoma in the 1800s or something.
Hmm.
Yeah. But so yeah, like the cult didn't like we were allowed to have surgeries. We were allowed to seek medical intervention. That was never a problem. We were, of course, supposed to pray and trust God, but mm-hmm. like, yeah, I don't think you had to do a do not resuscitate to be holy in the cult.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting one to I guess it's interesting that there's other religious groups or I'm sure cults that, you know, don't don't agree with modern medicine. I guess it's just interesting to me that that's the one they chose to make an exception for.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you apparently can't change. Turns out a lot of it is changeable, tweakable.
I still still don't understand. Like, why are you teaching kids this song? Like, what were you trying to accomplish here?
Let me look at the IVLP website again.
It doesn't seem like there's any, you know, just from hearing the song and what's in it, I can't draw a conclusion of like, why does this song exist? Let alone, why are you having children sing it?
So this is what the IBLP website currently says about this concept.
Okay.
I don't know what it said back in the 90s when I was singing that song on repeat at Children's Institute, but the entry is called, "How Can I Accept Myself the Way God Made Me? Building Trust in Your Designer."
Mm-hmm.
So then it talks about how you can change things like your attitude, your behavior, and your personal neatness. But then there's a bunch of stuff you can't change. And how can you accept this stuff you can't change? You must learn to see that you are created according to God's perfect design, and that design is intended for accomplishing His purposes. And then it quotes a verse in Isaiah that talks about how God's a potter and we're the clay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they're just...
Oh, here we go. Okay. Here we go. Your attitude about yourself has a profound influence on your attitudes about God, your family, your friends, and your future. Self-acceptance brings freedom from comparison with others as you discover the goodness of God and His purposes in your design. So those are the things we can't fuck with. Attitudes about, you know, your parents and God and your future, doing everything Bill says.
So, I mean, the whole thing, the whole premise of the song then is just that, what did they put in the title of that? Trust in your designer?
Yeah, building trust in your designer.
Yeah, so that was the purpose of the song then.
Mm-hmm. Just trying to tell when you reject yourself, you're actually rejecting God and His work in your life.
Mm-hmm.
God has designed life with the following 10 areas of unchangeables, again in quotation marks. We did not choose them. We cannot change them. All of these attributes are built into your unique design.
I think
there are a lot of people who would take a lot of issue with a lot of items on this list.
Yeah, I mean, I heard similar things to that, like growing up in church, building trust in your designer, and it's like, you know, God's plan, and like you're this tall because there was a reason for it. You can sing because there was a reason for that. Like, God had a reason for everything. Like, your talents, like all that kind of stuff. So like that stuff I've heard before, but yeah, we never sang a song about that.
and some
of those are just very interesting. Like,
yeah,
like, well, of course you can't change your ethnicity. Like your DNA is your DNA. And mm-hmm. like, you can't change that. You can't change who you
You're, and it would be great if we lived in a world where nobody wanted to have a different appearance because no one's discriminated against right. or treated poorly due to their skin color or appearance or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I would rather focus my energy instead of like going, oh, I must accept these unchangeables. Personally, I'd rather put that energy into like, how do we fix this fucked up world so people don't have to worry about this shit? Just an idea for consideration.
So you learned this at one of the like
Children's Institute.
Children Institute things.
Yeah. The seminar for kids. Yep. And it had that song. And I've talked about the Boomerang song and the Proverbs 31 woman song. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, there was like the gratefulness song and the attentiveness song. There were a bunch of songs, Kyle. We had to learn a lot of songs, and then we had to sing a lot of songs, and there were a lot of hand motions that went with the songs.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. So the way Children's Institute worked is like, See, my brain just goes back to military. So, like, there were flights of, you know, 10 to 15 of us. And then we were in squadrons. And then we all got together in the auditorium as the wing. And anyways, so we had, like, literally they would make cubicles out of tables. So there was, like, a square. And we would all sit on the floor, and we had all of our craft supplies and the story supplies. And there were usually two leaders who were in charge of that little group of, you know, 10-ish of us. And we were all, like, in this big room. So it was noisy. It was so loud. but there were a bunch of these, like, cubicle cubby things of kids. And so we would do, like, part of the time there with, like, our small group. And then... And then, oh man, were we part of like subgroups? We might have been. And then we would go into like the big area with all the chairs and the piano was there. And that's where we would have like group song learning and singing and story time and memorizing character qualities and skits that the team leaders, like the Children's Institute leaders, would do. And I'm sure... We thought they were really funny because in a cult, you just have a very different idea of what's funny. But I remember we laughed a lot in the big auditorium thing. But like when we were back in the little cubicle thingies, we were like making diagrams and construction paper castles of Satan strongholds in our heart.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a very interesting roller coaster of emotions at the Children's Institute. Because one minute you're like, oh, my goodness. Because you can't say, oh, my God. You can't even say, oh, my gosh. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Satan is taking over my heart. And there's a castle. There's a black castle in my heart of Satan and his work and his infiltration. And then you're like, you know, scared and thinking about hell and dying and you're just trash and definitely like demon possessed. And then you form up in a line and you march over to the big auditorium. And then you're laughing about like some story about obedience where an animal dies because they didn't obey their mom. Huh. And singing, you know, the 10 Unchangeables song. It was a great time, Kyle.
Yes, it sounded like it was lots of fear-mongering
and brainwashing. Well, obviously.
So, like, so all that made me think, like, was there any part of that that was just, like, fun? Did you guys, were you allowed to just, like, be kids and go play? Or was it just, like, nonstop?
God, no.
Like, so there was no, like,
we were in formation.
Time.
Oh, my God. No wonder that felt so comfortable and familiar and military training. It was like, oh, I'm like light bulb moment for Amanda. It felt like home. Like standing in formation and marching around in lines. Oh my God. I'm fine. And I just never put that together before. Like, it was just very comfortable and familiar, Kyle.
I get it. And I know how much you actually love that stuff. And so I have no idea what's going on behind your brain right now, behind the scenes, because like I know how much you love the military and how much you love
cults. Produce really great military people. What can I say? if you grew up in a cult, consider joining the military. You'll do great. Oh, we should do a whole episode on how being in a cult made me really good at being in the military.
Oh, that is a good idea.
I like that one. We should do that one. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot, like even the shouting. I mean, in the cult, we were shouting about like death and hell and God and demons and angels, not the Constitution. But yeah, there's a lot of overlap. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, as I sit here and think about it, yeah, we would form up and march mm-hmm. from our little cubbies to the main auditorium area.
Did they actually like try to make a bunch of small children like stay in formation?
Are you kidding? Did they? Of course. And was it that hard for them? No, we were all being beaten at home. We knew how to jump to attention and get in line and stay still and shut up and be silent.
I remember having to do a little bit of that in like public school, where it was just like, all right, everybody line up, you know, it's lunch break now. And so we're going to walk over to the cafeteria, whatever. And they like try to keep, you know, 15 kids to stay in line and not hit each other or whatever. But yeah, it was never very like regimented. Like, were you guys having to like march in step and like the whole?
I am pretty sure we had to line up shortest to tallest, which, by the way, the military goes tallest to shortest. So that's fun. so that was even familiar. And I think we had to put our hands on the shoulders of the person in front of us as a kid in the cult. And so we were like in step because you had to like.
Yeah. You're so close.
You had to keep up and not let go and not let the chain get disconnected because you're the weak link.
Is that what they told you?
Yeah.
Oh, no. It just sounds like nonstop brainwashing. Like every
well,
part
it
of
was,
that.
Kyle. It was, I mean, a cult.
It was, but at the same time, I just always have this feeling like, but they had to let you be kids at some point, right? And the answer is no.
Well,
but
we have a whole episode planned about like why you aren't allowed to have fun, Kyle. Life isn't about fun. Kids. Did you know that? Did you know that?
I don't subscribe to that methodology.
Well, I know. You scare me because you're like, life is about having fun. And like you say that. Like literally, you'll say those words and then I have like Rick's voice like screaming in my head, life isn't about fun, kids. And
this is a true story.
and so like, uh-huh. You know, it's a little scary, mm-hmm. to be married to someone who's probably demon possessed and pursuing fun.
Oh, I'm even sad about that. What? So I'm not even sad about that.
There are a lot of reasons that sometimes I'm like, wow, we're kind of unlikely. Like, we have a lot of similarities, you and I, but also we're a little unlikely. Mm-hmm. You like fun. I think fun is the pursuit of Satan.
Yes.
Oh, man. So,
as we talk through stuff, like, and get more and more into this, it's like, okay, more things make sense. I understand Amanda now. Like, this is, here's the underlying cult stuff, and here's stuff that's not cult. I just learn more and more every day.
What'd you learn this time?
Oh, that like your love for the military and the organization and the structure and all of that stuff was rooted in childhood, like brainwashing of like, we must march and sing these weird songs and there's no fun.
I guess. It's something to think about. We'll do the military episode.
Yeah. I'm sure that's not entirely it. I know you're very patriotic and, you know, have a deep love for your country, and that was a huge motivation for you going into the military, and your, you know, your grandpa's being in the military, and so like that was, you know, instilled at a young age anyway, so it's not, I don't think your entire love of the military is all rooted in cult stuff by any means.
So here's the real question. Would I have been type A had I not grown up in the cult? Because I grew up in the cult?
Well, that's a good question. Like, is that normal for cult kids to all be type A? I would guess so. Like, because it seems like they force you to be that. Like, perfectionism, no fun, do work, get good grades. They kind of force you to have the characteristics of a type A person. Maybe not necessarily forcing you to become a type A person, but.
But I wasn't good at cult. There. And I was good at military.
Well, you wanted to go into the military.
Well, that's true. I feel like the military, even with how unreasonable it can be, was a lot more reasonable than the cult.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's something worth thinking about.
Well, I mean, just even within your biological like siblings, like was everybody like very type A?
Andrea was. I don't know about Andy. Amy was. I don't know. I definitely was.
I know you said it like you guys had a lot of pressure to be like perfect and yeah. get good grades and everything.
Aaron wasn't so much. Adam was type A, I think. Adam was very disciplined. Alec, he was somewhere between Aaron and Adam. And I don't know about Abby because, you know, I haven't known her since she was 14 and she was the baby of the family. So she's just had a different experience in the family. I mean, a lot of cult kids were really good at something. You know, if it, maybe they were really good at an instrument, that was pretty common. Or they were really good at art or calligraphy or Latin or...
The calligraphy thing what gets me every time. I'm just like, really?
Or like cooking or, you know, something like that. Writing, debate. So I think it definitely celebrated type A traits and people. Here's a question. Have you ever seen me act not type A?
Sometimes it's very confusing.
Ooh, tell me.
So in the type A things, like you're normally like have a very specific way of, you're like, this is how I do things. This is how I want it done. This is the right way of doing it. Like type A, like you just like narrow, like laser focused on like, this is it. And then there's sometimes I'm like, okay, like I know what she's thinking right now and this is how she's going to want to do it. Or this is going to be her preference. I guess this is probably the best way of putting this and generalizing it. But like, I'll think like this is going to be her preference for something. And then you're going to, and then you turn around and you're like, well, you know, I don't care. And I'm like, what?
Well, Kyle, it's basic military tactics. You have to keep the adversary guessing. It's important to be a little unpredictable.
It works.
Not that you're the adversary, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
It's important to be a little unpredictable.
So I would say that's off the top of my head. That's the kind of thing that catches me off guard.
Like when I randomly say, oh, yeah, when I travel alone, I don't even book hotels. I just stop when I'm tired.
That's a perfect example. I'm just like, this is not. Normally we're on a road trip and you're like, where are we stopping next? And you want to know like the whole plan. Like this is a 10-hour drive. Like what is happening in the next 10 hours? Like, and when is it happening? And then you turn around and you're just like, no, I'll drive across country and stop wherever. And like, I don't book hotels ahead of time and I don't know where I'm going to, you know, sleep or eat or anything. And I just go and I'm like, I don't get it. I'm so confused right now.
Well, that's because when it's just me, it's not impacting anyone else if I, you know, pass the only place to eat.
Yeah. It's just so out of
character. I get hangry. Or like, it's no one's there to be hangry at.
I mean, I get your rationale, but from, like, my perspective, it's just, like, this is so out of character. It's confusing.
So I guess personality and preferences are not unchangeables.
I guess. You have to make your own unchangeable
list. Well, you do that too, because you'll be like Mr. Spontaneous. And then if we're doing a project, you're like, I need to have all of the specs and I need to know what we're doing and when we're doing it and how we're doing it and where's the tape measure.
I'm a little complicated in the sense that, like, I'm very spontaneous, but I've also done a ton of engineering stuff. Where that's just like very, you know, very step by step. Here's the prerequisites. You need all this information before you can even start.
I mean, I think it's hot. Don't get me wrong. I'm totally okay with this.
So, yeah, like I'm sure it's confusing.
I find it very attractive.
Sometimes I'm just like, whatever. We're just going to wing it. Like, you know, and then other times I'm like, no, I need to have like all of the materials up front. I need to have a bill of materials and I need to know exactly how much of everything. And before we start building this thing, like, this is, you know, we got to have a plan. I need to draw it all out. I need to know all the parts. We're going to go to the store and buy all the stuff and we need to get it all at once. And then other times I'm just like, yeah, whatever. We'll see what we got. We'll just throw something together. Probably just depends on my mood, honestly.
Moods are not part of the 10 unchangeables, folks. No. If they are for you, maybe consider therapy. That might be the sign of a deeper problem. Oh. Well, I mean, that's really all I've got about the 10 Unchangeables. The song was weird. Children's Institute
Thanks
was
for
weird.
Singing. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Might delete.
It's too late. You can't delete.
I do what I want, Kyle. My mind is not one of the 10 Unchangeables. I can change my mind.
Well, that was a very interesting song about
nothing.
Nothing. And a brainwashing song for children about, I have no idea. But yeah, that was the 10 Unchangeables.
Okay. Well, I think we were going to do the basic life principles next, but now I'm kind of thinking we should do the military episode next. We'll see how we feel, Kyle. We'll see what the mood is.
See if it changes. All right. Well, stay tuned. We'll be back next Monday with something.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Cult I Left Behind.
Until next time, don't join a cult.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please like, share, and subscribe, and we will catch you on the next episode.